It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody, to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. That's right. It's Monday Golf time, the Lifestyle Show time. I'm Ray Adams with you all. Our joined by Craig Renshaw, our 25-year recipient of accolades from the PGA of America. And, well, he's going to get those papers in to be a lifer, I hope.
Yep.
And then, of course, Dr. Bob, calling Dr. Bob. You're wanted in golf surgery, the best golf historian in America. Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America. Stop doing that, Bob. Mm-hmm. Don't crinkle your face up like that. Say thank you, Ray. No, Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America. He is our historian emeritus, and he certainly is so much appreciated because I say he's the best. It's my show, and I can say it. All right, everybody, we've got a big U.S. Open in the books, in the history. And it has been already a big controversial one, was all last week. There's more and more New York, I'm not going to call them fans, because fan is a diminutive. It's a shortened word for fanatic. And that is what sports fans and fans of music. I'm a fan of the opera. My wife and I love all the arts. So we have so much to talk about, and we're going straight to Dr. Bob. I want you to put this in perspective historically, Bob, as far as this Shinnecock Golf Club and this U.S. Open, won by, of course, Wyndham Clark. He did everything he could do to lose it, and yet he held on as a stalwart, as a stoic, almost miraculous play, I think, more mentally than physically, Bob. And we're going to go down the line and talk about all of it. Go.
Okay. Right now, it will rank as one of the most perplexing finishes to a U.S. Open in my recent memory, other than Gary Player being attacked at the in Dayton, Ohio, for him being in the middle of the apartheid way back when South Africa was in the middle of that mess,
yeah,
with apartheid. But this is a U.S. American player scrambling like crazy, making amazing recoveries and putts to shoot a 73, winning by a stroke over Sam Burns on American soil, being treated like he was an outcast. And
yes,
it was embarrassing. It was very, to me, I really thought that the people that were playing with him could have done a better job of just looking at the players and rather than let security people take care of the bad actors that were in the audience, in the gallery. And because it was a light gallery in many cases because of the attendance, you could hear these people much better at that time. They were mm-hmm. not chirping on people's backswings. That part has been noted by those who were actually in the reporters in the gallery, but they were saying enough to make it really tough on Wyndham Clark. I give him all the credit in the world for dealing with what he did. And he performed when he had to. He certainly powered through the mess that he had, that was a part of it, made amazing lag putts. And here we are with our sixth wire-to-wire, excuse me, our eighth wire-to-wire champion in history at Shinnecock. We can call this Shinnecock Hills rather than Shinnecock Hills, maybe, because he was
they
playing
won't
a
like that. They're yes. going to like it if you do that, but go
for
ahead.
For 36 holes, he was playing a different golf course than the rest of the field. How about
yes.
that? That party, because
Well, I
he could
even
find
think
his
for
way out of
54.
other things.
Listen, I think 54 holes, because we had one of the worst moving day Saturdays, Craig, maybe in the history of a US Open. I mean, there were about eight or nine guys there. They were what, six or seven strokes behind, whatever they were, five, six, whatever behind. And Bob, I want you to weigh in too, but not a one of them mounted any kind of a charge at all. Nothing.
He had to be the one that came back to the field. That's the thing. Can I just read this before Craig
Go
trips in
ahead.
about the
Go ahead.
US the wire to wire winners at the US Open?
Yep.
Walter Hagen, Jim Barnes, Ben Hogan, Tony Jacklin, Tiger Woods twice, Rory McIlroy, Martin Kaymer, and now Wyndham Clark. Wire to wire, no ties. That's quite an accomplishment at the US Open.
Well, it's absolutely unbelievable, Craig. Nobody mounted a challenge on Saturday. No,
No,
nothing. I mean,
it was a
it was like
yawner,
they all
wasn't it?
went to sleep.
It was a yawner, which fortunately for him, he played phenomenal. He didn't give anybody an opening that would give anybody even a little bit of a boost of thinking, oh, I can get there. He just snapped it shut. He did everything right. He got a little bit of an advantage, I think, of teeing off super late on Saturday. You know, obviously, if you play well, you play super late. I get that. But I think they pushed the tee times back too far. And I think I sent both of you something on that. I don't know why they pushed it back so far. But the advantage was then you didn't play in as much wind because the wind dies down at night. So you get luck of the draw as far as tee times. That's the way things are. But no, he deserves every bit of credit. The man passed every test that he needed to. I think that he won't get his due, but I think I've texted you guys. I don't like these super wide US Opens. I just don't like them. I
Almost
don't like them.
50 yard wide fairways. The USGA is
Don't like them.
doing this because they know that most players can't hit a fairway with a compass or a map. And they want, I mean, Scottie Scheffler hit one of the most beautiful drives I've ever seen in my life yesterday. And do you know that dadgum ball on a 50 yard wide fairway? And he hit it literally straight as an arrow, but somehow or other with the slope, whatever, that dadgum ball caught into about, it went off into about a foot of the rough. You just can't, it's just the, but they did set it up easy. It was a watered down US Open, watered down by fog, watered down by watering greens, watered down by slower greens on the stimp meter. It did, the course did speed up a bit on the weekend, but I mean, on and on, Bob.
On the weekend, Shinnecock became Shinnecock.
It did. And they wanted to let it become that. But, and so Wyndham struggled to keep his lead. Others made a big run. Sam Burns cried in his press conference. You get into that position, Craig, and if you don't win, and of course he missed a couple putts, which you really can't do. Scottie Scheffler did nothing, nothing, yesterday. There'll be another day and time for him. I think he wins the US Open, and I think he gets his career Grand Slam. And I think it's all better that maybe he doesn't win it at Shinnecock with the crowds that were there, taunting. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But let's have him win it at some other place. You know what? I don't think these players care. And we're going to get to Mike Wann's comments too, which are shocking, shocking to me anyway. And absolutely unbelievably ridiculous that they would ever even choose Shinnecock after you hear and read those remarks. But the reality is, I don't think any player ever cares what golf. They could be playing at a local public golf course if the USGA chose it as a US Open venue. They don't care where they play. They just want to play in the US Open and they want to win it. Where am I going wrong, Craig?
No, I agree. It was overall, it was they kept Shinnecock from getting out of control. I give the USGA a lot of credit for that. The thing I'm disappointed in, as I said, fairway width. I personally believe you can let the fairways get out of control a little bit. I don't mind if those fairways get so rock hard. It was, and maybe this was the right way to do it, but all the things I've ever seen at Shinnecock are a little bit of bakedness, and you didn't want the greens baked. Well, I don't care if the fairways are baked. That's makes the challenge and the way things are. Maybe I need to change my point of view, but except for Wyndham playing out of his mind the first 2 days and it being a yawner on Saturday, he deserves all the credit. And it was a nice event to watch. Scotty played well. Scotty just didn't make the putts when he needed to. He hit some of the great, him and Wyndham hit some great golf shots. He wasn't able to capitalize. And I think it shows how hard it is to do what he's done over the last 2.5 years, because he hit a really good at time at re I mean really good. He hit it really good.
Well, there were tears of joy and shouts of joy and hugs and kisses of joy, because for the first time, Wyndham Clark's dad came there and came unannounced as a total shocking surprise to Wyndham, and not seen him win, and here he is to see him win his second U.S. Open title in an amazing manner, an unbelievable. I mean, I was a nervous wreck. I had to get up and leave the room a few times. But anyway, so there's his father. There are tears of joy and hugs and all the family and everybody on Father's Day. And I hope that all of you out there had a wonderful Father's Day, family day, safe, happy. And that you were able to enjoy each other, and you were able to maybe watch a little U.S. Open golf or do whatever you were doing. We were out and about for Father's Day for me, doing different things, but I did record it, and I did get through all of it. And so Father's Day for Wyndham was a big deal, Bob, and I think it was a big deal for the U.S. Open too. Although there are other things we're going to talk about that are, I think, rather very, some highly controversial. We'll get to that. But I think as far as a Father's Day go, we couldn't have had a better US Open and a better reunion. I say reunion, a better union of a father and a son.
Yeah, and I also watched Miles Russell give his caddy bib from one caddy to his father on the sidelines. I have him walk the last part of the 18th hole.
Okay. All
I thought
right.
that was very nice. And Miles Russell, Jackson Quaven, and Ryan Cowan, three amateurs who are going to be outstanding young professionals.
And are we thinking that Koivin is going to go pro first and soon? Well, what are we thinking on that, Craig?
I don't know. Truthfully, I can't tell them all apart, and I don't know that much about them. But I think I did read somewhere that one of them is turning pro fairly quickly, if I heard that correctly.
Bob,
I believe that it will be Jackson Koivin, I think, at the point. That's
didn't
what I
he
heard earlier.
sign? He just signed a big, huge sponsorship deal too, didn't he?
I think
Right.
so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going here. We've got loads to talk about. We're going to have a very short break today, but we will go to a break here in just a few minutes. When you look at this U.S. Open, it's probably one of my least favorite. We were there at Los Angeles Country Club, and a lot of people have said over the years that was an easy course, an easy setup. Again, I come back and say, no player cares. It was a U.S. Open, and Wyndham Clark won that U.S. Open. And we were there, we watched it, we covered it, we reported on it, I did some videos from it. Boom. So now here he comes. And so if you're going to redeem yourself, and I say redeem, if you're going to go to the fans, to the golf writers, to the ruling bodies, to the world of golf, and say, okay, I want a U.S. Open at LA Country Club. Okay, Maybe it was a little easy, you say. Maybe, although they never, none of them ever played in a US Open, so they don't know Jack from Jill. But let's just say that Wyndham really was able to put it up their whatever's armpits, let's call it, and shove it down their throat. That's a pretty direct statement, Ray. When you win at Shinnecock under these kind of conditions. Now, you tell me, okay, he won at LA Country Club. Maybe it was a little bit on the soft side, but not this one. So he has fully positioned himself as a US Open champion, two-time. There's some relationship with Lee Jansen there. We are going to get to it, but he becomes the second player in history. Since the official world golf ranking came out in 1986, to win a US Open twice, ranked outside of the top 30 both times. He entered the week ranked 34. Only Lee Jansen, who we are working and talking to, won two times, and he also achieved a two-time US Open win outside of the top 30 in official world golf rankings. I think that's a pretty big deal. And it shows you that you can never go with the leaders and the rankings and the big names that you think. I think Wyndham Clark was probably one of the least likely to win. I think Wyndham Clark showed everybody, hey, I'm a major championship winner. I can stand a US Open. Okay, LA Country Club, but now we've done it at Shinnecock. Now, what are you going to say about me? Craig?
Well, I think there's always been a thing about there's horses for courses, and I think Wyndham needs a wide golf course. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him,
Well,
because,
sounds like they all do.
but I mean, he definitely fits a critique a type of golf courses or U.S. Open, and it's the wider version. It doesn't take away the. I mean, he hit more good shots than anybody, and he's got the brain to work through it and the strength and all that. I mean, I don't want it to sound like sour grapes or anything like that, because he hit better golf shots than anybody. But he has those two golf courses that there is a similarity of, they're wider than wide, and that definitely brings him into the category of being able to do that.
You look at Sam Burns. He cried after the tournament. Sam Burns finished his US Open, and he has played some great championship golf. Matter of fact, I read somewhere, Bob, you can help us, that he became the only player to finish among the top 10 in each of the last 3 years.
That's correct. That's correct.
That's good trivia there.
You can enlarge on that, Bob, if you want to, but man, hey, no wonder this guy, look, he can putt, he can do everything. The guy is perfect. He's such a nice guy and a good guy. But he knew that he had his chance and that it was squandered. He did it as the greatest, one of the great putters of the world. He didn't make a couple putts there, did he, Bob, that he needed?
No, he hit a really bad putt on 17 after
Oh.
a really good chance there. That
Oh.
was a weak sister
Oh.
at all.
It was
Had
terrible.
no chance. No
Oh.
chance.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh.
Yeah, but he made some big ones, but he is the inconsistent on that, and that, and unfortunately it was. You have to be deadly on those moments of clutch to have a shot.
I also saw where the golf course, of course, the golf course was the star all week. The golf course was the story all week. The US Open made this US Open, the brand was Shinnecock. It wasn't any player, and it wasn't the USGA. They were all a distant second. Shinnecock
All right.
was the big star and the big story and the big weather and the big location and the I hope they never go back to Shinnecock location, Craig.
But it'll be 10 years. We're going back in 10 years,
They're
and then
going to go
they're.
back and nobody will go again. I mean, can you believe that Mike Wann gets up? And look, I love Mike Wann. I'm a big supporter over the many years of Mike Wann, what he has done. for golf for the ladies, and now with the USGA, I'm a big supporter, although there are things I do not agree with. And there are others way more famous and accomplished than I would ever be that also don't agree with Mike Juan and the USGA about a number of things. But for him to get on television, I'm shocked by this. For him to get on television and say, well, we brought the US Open to Shinnecock so players could say, because it's so important to them, and this is coming from Mike Wan. I'm paraphrasing, but I've got it. Because I sat and listened to his interview on TV yesterday. Players want to be able to say, I won a US Open, my US Open at Shinnecock. We've already said they don't give a flying, they don't care. No one's going to get up and say, hi, my name is Wyndon Clark, and did you know that I won a US Open at Shinnecock? They're never going to say that. So Mike Wan gets up there and says, we choose Shinnecock, and we know that this is not a place, where, we are going to compromise the attendance. And we know why. Because it's difficult to get to, he said. Well, of course, it's way in the world out in the end of the world on Long Island. And, you're dealing with these New York people that attend, I'm not calling them fans, people, many of them that attended this golf tournament, like the Ryder Cup last fall at Bethpage on Long Island. And for him to say that, I mean, I thought the USGA was every man's golf. I thought the US Open was an open where anybody can qualify to be there. You can be an amateur. You can qualify as a pro if you're not on the list. You can go through the various qualifying rounds. It's an open championship. It's our US Open. And the USGA opens it up for that. And yet they choose a venue, and they're a bit notorious for choosing venues that the vast majority of amateur recreational golfers cannot get to, cannot afford to get to, will never go, and can never experience our US Open Championship. I am embarrassed for them to do this if they're not. Where am I going wrong, Bob?
Yeah. It's probably the Long Island Railroad. Isn't that one of the most the one you have to catch at 6:30 just to get back off the golf course
Oh,
because you have
I was supposed to do all of that at Bethpage when we stayed in Queens at the DoubleTree Hilton Hotel. I was supposed to catch the Long Island Railway. I said beans with that, and I caught a ride and paid the money to do it. Go ahead.
And I think the last connection is 9:30, something like that, to get home by midnight to downtown Manhattan or in somewhere in that
Ridiculous.
neighborhood. But that's the part of the problem when you have Long Island, and it's rough out there, believe me. And I sampled it in 2019 with Bethpage, so I know exactly what it's like to be going from van to car to the hotel. It's just drearisome.
Craig, what about this venue, and what about Mike Wan, and what about, we chose Shinnecock because of that, and we know that we're going to have a low spectator turnout because it's so difficult to get to. I'm going to add, not just difficult to get to and back, it's outrageously expensive. Craig, go.
Well, they pick New York because it's New York and they can make a ton of money on the sponsors and run all the parties during the week and everything in
Oh,
Manhattan
yeah,
and
it's
do
all
all that
about
stuff.
money, money, money,
It's
money.
money. Shinnecock is one of the four original clubs, so they're gonna, if they're get the agreement to hold it, they're gonna bend over backwards to make sure Shinnecock can have it. So I get it. Your point is true. Then if that's the case, why don't we try to offer it to Sand Valley or, Sand Hills in Nebraska, and we won't have anybody come to it, and it really won't matter about the attendance there either. We can put everybody in, trailers and everything like that. We can do that. I'm fine with that too then. I think if when they make that statement, then we can find great golf courses all over the world. Why do we have to go from New York to California, back to New York next 2 years from now, and then back to California? Why do we only have to go on the coast then? If we have that attitude, then there's 48 other states that we ought to be able to have a U.S. Open at, and I want to see them all over the place.
Well, there's loads and loads of places to have wonderful U.S. Opens, and I'm telling you, after Bethpage, I said, I'm never going back to New York for any event. I'm not doing it. I don't like the boisterous, raucous, outrageously wrong, rude, filthy mouth people that are allowed to attend this tournament, these tournaments there. However, I will say, and I wrote to you guys about this, and let's drill down a little bit on this, and then we'll go to a short break after this discussion. At Bethpage, the PGA of America either failed to plan, failed to know. If they did that, they all need to be fired that were involved in Bethpage Choice and the running of that tournament, the Ryder Cup. If they didn't know, if they did know, they need to be fired. And if they didn't know, they need to be fired. There's no way out of it. They got to go. And by the way, using Don Ray as a scapegoat is not going to hold it. The PGA of America is still responsible for what happened at Bethpage at the Ryder Cup. And so is the USGA responsible for what happened with the rude, outrageously horrible, ugly-ass people that hurled insults, that cheered on failure and defeat to Wyndham. I mean, what in the world did he ever do to them? Nothing. Okay, he had a little mishap a year ago. Big deal. He has over-apologized for it, I think, numerous times. Over again, he said, I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Okay, so he even gets banned. Fine. Get banned. He'll get back in. He's a two-time U.S. Open winner. When they have the U.S. Open there again, he'll be there. My point is that he needs to stop apologizing for that, by the way. That's all over now. We're done with that, and it's over. Golfers have done infinite, multiple, 20 times, 100 times worse. Sergio spits in the cup. Who beat the hell out of their club against the standard, the tee markers, and the club went flying into the fans? Who did that? You can remind me. Let's go on and on. Phil Mickelson. Ha, 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 ha. Of course, his reputation, his history, his legacy completely ruined. But what he did at Shinnecock several years ago, a putt in motion, and he runs after it, backhands it while in motion, then lies to the press. How he avoided being disqualified, you know, I know they've explained it, but I don't buy it. So we could go on and on and on and on and on. What in the world is going on? But I must say, the USGA knew it was coming. The USGA planned for it. And the USGA threw golf fans out for acting this way. Way to go, USGA. I'm giving you my 100%. Craig?
I texted you this morning very early on waiting at the airport. I give them credit for doing that. But as I said, it's getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. And it's, you know, you're just going to have to take a Augusta look at stuff, and you're not going to tolerate it, you know, zero tolerance, and you're going to have to get rid of people.
Well, you know, I don't know, Bob, what do you make of it?
I love the Augusta National policy up and down the board, up and down the board.
Yeah, but you're never going to have that with these other ruling bodies. I mean, the PGA Tour is never going to do it. Well, they don't have a major, but so it doesn't really matter.
No, because they'd lose the waste management.
They would. They would be completely gone, and I'm not convinced that whatever. The PGA Tour doesn't have a major, so it doesn't matter. I don't think the Open Championship has a real problem with this, or am I wrong about that, Bob?
Not in my current career watching the Open and being
No.
and attending the Open.
Well, Scottie Scheffler said that he wasn't the most liked person at Portrush, but they didn't beat the Sam Hill out of him like they did Wyndham Clark. I mean, they just beat Wyndham Clark all day, cheering if his ball get in the bunker, get in the bunker, do this, do that, do that. Everything bad they cheered it on, and then when he does anything correct, silence, including probably one of the most silent final putts of a U.S. Open championship in history. Silent, Bob.
So then what are, so then, right? So then this is the question that we all got to be asking. What are those people doing there?
Right. Well, they're there to make noise. They're there to make some sort of name. They're there to make some sort of statement. They're there to be a part of all of that history. But then they want to be the asses that they are.
So they want to be a part of history, and then their mind to be a part of history is booing the winner.
Right. And that was historical. They made history yesterday, didn't they, Bob?
For a U.S. player at a major winning a championship, yes, they
Who's
did.
already won one? Who's already won one?
They got what they wanted, though, Craig. They made history doing what they did.
I mean, that's like showing up to a. I don't know. I'm going to make a terrible example. I mean, it's like showing up to a murder scene to have your picture taken right in front of it, or a bank robbery, and go standing there cheering as the bank robbery. I mean, I
And why
just
do you
don't.
think I'm never going to Long Island for a tournament ever,
I
ever,
just
never? You can
don't.
give me free tickets, give me the airplane, give me
Oh.
the hotel. I'm never going. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be around them. I don't like them. My experience at Bethpage and now what we're seeing here at this US Open, which confirms Bethpage, although the USGA handled it better. Yes, they did. But still, why are these people there? We don't want them there. They don't need to be there, but they're always going to be there. Now, I think that we're in a new era of golf. Now we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back. Be prepared to talk about, is this a new era of golf fans? Is this a new era of the heckling, of the choosing players to hurt and then to help? Is this a new wave, a new style? Is this where golf is in its loud and in its changes? And in we have two tiers coming up on the PGA Tour. You got some players that'll make a bunch of money and others that are going to struggle around for it. I mean, on and on. When we come back, let's drill down on that. Both of you will be ready to talk. And folks, these are some very, very cool and important messages from our sponsors that help all of this happen. They're going to help you with your game. You're going to love the products. And we're going to be back in just a moment. Have a quick listen.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. I'm Ray Adams with Dr. Bob Denny and Craig Renshaw. We're talking all U.S. Open, all hour. Can't wait to keep going here in just a moment. I want to thank one of our brand new Anthem only sponsors, part of the sponsors of this show and the Great American Golf Saturday show, and that is A&G Automotive Repair right here in Anthem on the west side of the I-17 freeway. Over by Walmart is A&G Automotive. Folks come from all over the valley. Jason and his wonderful spouse own and run this. It is a small business. Their prices, their cost of repairing cars are, for me, the best I've ever seen. The lowest I've seen in a very long time. Thorough work. They work on everything. They'll do anything that you need them to do. You want to contact A&G Automotive, and you can go to their website at angautollc.com. I really wanted to make a big deal out of them. And of course, we've got to mention Legacy Golf Resort. You want to go to golflegacyresort.com because they are having a big event coming up for the military. It's going to really, really, really support what's going on. We want to help our local troops. It's the second annual Copperhead Top 3 Golf Tournament. It's coming up, and it supports the a private organization located at the 161st Air Refueling Wing. You tee off for the troops with a day on the greens, providing opportunities for men and women of Arizona's elite tanker unit. It is Monday, June the 22nd, today. And I wanted to thank them so much for, and I've already mentioned it a couple times, but I wanted to thank them so much for hosting this. It's going on, and there's tee times tomorrow, June the 23rd as well, Tuesday. So go to Golf Legacy Resort. The tee times for Wednesday are available. So there's so much going on at golflegacyresort.com. Make sure you get there, find out everything happening. And I want to thank them again so much for being a wonderful sponsor, golflegacyresort.com. All right. We're going to keep going right now. We're back with Dr. Bob. We're back with Craig. I'm going to let you two answer the question that we went out with. Craig, I'll start with you. Is this the new wave, the new era, the new way that fans like at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, like at Bethpage at the Ryder, like at other tournaments, like at this U.S. Open? Is this where we're headed? Is this what we're in for? Do we settle in or do we reject it and put golf back where it's supposed to be?
Well, I think it's been encouraged in a lot of different sports. I mean, you see, I don't want to say it's exactly the same, but you get the rowdiness in the World Cup and the dedication to their teams this time. And I think you get a lot of, God, I hate to use this word, mob mentality when it gets like this.
It is. It's a kind of a mob mentality, right?
And there, I think there's a fine line to it. I mean, this is a really, you could ask 500 different people, you'd get a slightly different thought or opinion from a lot of different people. I'm not, as I've said to everybody, I like the Waste Management one time in my life, and I can cross it off my book as, okay, I've done it. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm really not. But there's something to be said for some people that like that and get a part of that. I don't think that golf is going to be one of those better sports that if this is the way it's going to get, that you're going to see it. But maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this is a way to attract people. But if you attract people and then the best players don't want to be a part of it, what do you got going for you? So I think there's a fine line there. I don't think you ever want to be kicking people out, but sometimes you got no choice but to do it. I think you just had to have, you got to be prepared for it. And without rehashing, that's what the PGA didn't do last year for the Ryder Cup. They encouraged it, and then they weren't prepared for it. And it's like, well, you got to be prepared for it. And guess what? You were here at the Open, they were prepared for it, and they didn't take any gumph when it came in. They get rid of them right away. And that's what you got to do.
All right, let's talk about Scottie Scheffler a little bit. Well, Bob, go ahead. Is this where we're headed in the future? Should we settle in and accept it, or do we reject it? Go ahead, your answer.
I think you have pockets of problems along the tour, by the nature of where the tour is hosted. I
Okay.
think you set an example on the card that you buy and the ticket you buy on the flip side, and you put it right in front of them that no decorum problems will be handled or tolerated, blah, blah, blah. Just leave it at that. Then start arresting them and getting them out of there. Boom.
100%.
You're
I
ready.
totally agree with that. Scottie
It's not hard to
Scheffler
do. It's not hard
is
to do, Ray. It's not hard to
Scottie.
do.
No, it's not. Scottie, but the question is, you have to want to do it. And I'm not sure they do. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, using a bunch of old cliches that I shouldn't use, but it's not, it's like someone said long ago, and I've quoted it many, many times. It's not all about the money. It's only about the money. It's why 99.9% of things on the earth happens. And in golf, I would venture to say it's 100% of the reason. Certainly 99.9. It's only about money. I don't know that the PGA Tour really is looking out after their players. We can talk about that on another time. Maybe they are. And I'm willing to say, hey, wow, fabulous. But I'm very, very concerned about this upcoming season and this two-tier thing and all this other stuff going on and how I think a lot of players are going to be, well, scrambling around for status and for money. Scottie Scheffler didn't really want to talk about the behavior of the fans, Craig. He made a few comments. He was very careful, choosing his words. And we would all wonder what he really thinks. Of course, if you say what you really think, then all of a sudden you're good ham. Although he could say, listen, Scottie can say whatever he wants to say. Because, first of all, he's a man of faith. He's going to be polite. I think he's going to be a gentleman, although he does have a little bit of the temper going on. He can, anyway. Scottie Scheffler is, I think, a bit of a diplomat. He's the reluctant hero of the tour. But he was very careful answering the questions to the point where he finally said, and we all heard it, okay, now I'm done with all of this. And I'm not going to talk about it anymore. So if you want to talk some golf, let's do that. But now I'm done with all this. Pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, that's what he said, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So he doesn't really want to talk about it. And, I don't think the players in general, really want to talk about the fan behavior, Craig. But if they don't talk about it, and nobody really does anything about it, then I think it's here to stay in select places and events.
Well, name me one athlete that wants to talk about fan problems.
No, well, they don't, because then you start alienating people, and then you get your owners and your managers and
That's
your
it. So
you get
I don't
everybody
think,
down your back on that.
and I don't think Scott, so then to me, it's not a Scotty problem. It's not a, Justin Thomas problem or
No,
a Tiger Woods.
it's not. No.
It's a sports fan fanatic problem. As I said, I just think that how much the fan experience has been degraded over 25, 30 years has gotten worse and worse and worse. And it's something that, somebody's gonna, when are they gonna take a stand? Who knows? But it's certain places don't have a problem. They don't take it. You see little things in tennis. You see bigger things in golf now. I don't know. Is skiing having a problem? Are they having the problem in water skiing? I don't know. What about in lacrosse? Are they? I have no idea about these other
Well,
sports,
but
but.
I mean, nobody watches that stuff. We're talking about the big four, and I say nobody. I love all those sports, by the way. Listen, I love table tennis at the Olympics. I'm right there watching every minute. But as far as
But
millions
golf
of,
is a but golf is a fringe sport. Golf is a fringe sport.
it's one of the big four, isn't it?
No.
All right, you got NFL. Okay, let's, okay, correct me where I'm wrong. I want to do this right. NFL football is number one. Well, first of all, soccer is number one in the world by far. But in America, you've got NFL football, you've got baseball, then you have NBA basketball, and then you've got hockey. So those are the big four. I shouldn't have said four, but I believe golf is five. What's bigger? Who, what sport goes in the place of the fifth place, Bob or Craig?
Auto racing, NASCAR,
Yeah. Is NASCAR bigger than golf?
horse
Probably.
racing.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know. I don't think horse racing is, no way.
I don't know.
NASCAR is bigger than golf right now.
NASCAR is bigger. So there you go. So now we have number five, golf probably. Okay. But certainly golf is big. It's globally big. It's very visible. It's very, very colorful. And there's a lot of people, even those that are not players, recreational amateur players of the game, fans that watch it on TV. There's a lot of people that follow golf. And I mean, it's just because of the nature of the participants, the nature of the exposure of golf. So with that said, we golf is big enough to be whatever it is. Justin Rose, what a gentleman of the game. Aaron Rye, gentleman of the game. Tommy Fleetwood, Xander couldn't amount to much. Sahith, Ludwig Aubert, JT, I mean, Colin Pride. But you know, he finishes three over, Matt four over. I mean, everybody's over par. So when you look at this golf tournament, it is pretty much a US Open that you can say, well, there were only three people under par, Craig.
I totally agree. And you know, maybe Wyndham wins five US Opens in his by the time his career is over, and this is one of them. But I think it will be forgotten fairly quickly, which will be a shame because it was close. But it wasn't as close as it really was. I mean, when you hold the lead since 7 o'clock on a Thursday, it wasn't anywhere near as close. It made it more dramatic, but it really wasn't that dramatic. He came back. He never lost the lead, never tied the lead. But it really wasn't an exciting open. I agree.
I thought it was too. I mean, I enjoyed it. It wasn't my dream open. It wasn't my favorite of all time, but Bob, I thought it was a good open.
Let's go to Mr. Keith Mitchell, please.
Yes, that's a great one.
He started with a 40,
40-29.
a four,
Good
a
Lord.
40, 40, 29, 41, 29,
41-29.
41, 29, which is a record there, especially at, his. And then he became the first player in U.S. Open history to have four rounds of even par.
70, 70,
How about
70,
that
70.
one?
And that is an unbelievable piece of history. And yet, you never really thought he was good enough, Craig.
Oh, that just fried my butt when I read that.
What do you think about it? Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Well, as I texted both of you, here in golf, we have a real struggle, and we're struggling with schedules right now. We're struggling with LIV and whether they fit or don't fit, and the PGA Tour and signature events. And we got somebody here that's 34 years old. Let's assume he's in the prime of his career right now, as a lot of players would be. And he says he never felt like he could win or anything, and the man's made almost $20 million. And to me, it's a sad state when you got somebody that feels like they could never win but has made $20 million. Then we're paying people way too much right now. That's somebody that, and it doesn't mean he doesn't work hard, but to me, if you wouldn't talk to a second baseman in baseball and say, I just feel like I'm never going to get a hit. I just and I never could compete at the highest level. And I boy, I it just bothers me to make that comment that he has that thought, and if he can make a living,
but he's won
that
20
just bothers
million,
me.
he's won $20 million. I mean, of course he's good enough, but he's not a household name, and until he does something big, I don't know that he will be ever, but he's going to be a journeyman. Is a journeyman. He's going to make a
journeyman
fantastic...
don't make $20 million.
Okay, well then what is he? He's not a marquee superstar.
No, that's my
he's
point.
He's feeding off the best of everybody else.
We need to be making these events that they're paid the exact same
amount.
Wait a
minute now.
He
does. Wait a minute now. Hold on here. Feeding off the best of everybody, all the best. Wait a minute now. Let's hold on here. A couple of years ago, there was none of this money. It was only an answer to Liv pouring money out, $4 million to every winner, plus team money, that the PGA Tour had to get out of bed, you know, get the pillow off their head, and say, whoa, if we're going to compete at all here, we better start upping the ante.
And well, so that's not true. I disagree with that, because Tiger brought a lot of that money, and there's a lot of people that made a lot of it.
Nobody got paid what Tiger got paid, because nobody was Tiger's quality. He was 1,000 light years ahead of everybody.
But he brought the purses way up. That's my point. I want
He brought
them
up at
money.
Nothing like Liv. Liv quadrupled what Tiger ever did.
Well, right.
He started it. He started it.
Well, so did Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer in their day.
Everything's era driven, right?
Yes. But here in the last couple of years, all of these big purses are strictly a result of Liv. Well, now they're moving forward and going into this. So if you're winning $20 million over the last few years, I don't know if you're a journeyman or what you are, but you're a damn good golfer. You wouldn't be there. And you're finishing. Look, here's the first guy in history that shoots four pars in a row at a U.S. Open. I mean, come on. Of course he's good enough.
Well, but that's my point.
What does he got? What does he need? Counseling? Does he need counseling, Craig?
No, but what I'm saying here is then keep the fields the same. Keep the prize money the same. Just give the winners more money. Give the winners more money.
But why do they need more money? They're already making gobs and over gobs of it.
No, you're paying everybody else too much. Pay the winners $15 million and everybody else has to split $250. I don't mind the winners making money. Tiger Woods deserves to make every bit of money that he's made over his lifetime because he won.
Well, they
if
all
you're
did.
Winning, you win, you make money. You
well, that's Scottie
don't
Scheffler.
Make win and you don't win.
Well, that's Scheffler. That's McIlroy. Even down to the ranks of a Fleetwood. I mean, if you're playing well and you're winning or you're right there. But, you know, I go back and I look at this golf tournament and I think of the argument that happened between Chamblee and the guy that I, oh, my goodness.
Paul McGinley.
Thanks, Bob. Mm-hmm. They had this debate quite a while back and we spoke about it on the air here. This U.S. Open was won by pure D luck. Yes, a lot of guts and grit. But when you look at it, he didn't win by 3 or 4 or 5 strokes. He won by one barely. And that's a roll of the ball or a half a roll. It is a roll of the fairway. It is a luck shot here and a chip shot there that if you stood there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, you'd never be able to do it again. And what those two guys were talking about, McGinley Chamblee, was if you're winning by several strokes, okay. But if you're winning by one, it's pure luck because it means anybody there could have won. Where am I going wrong, Craig?
Okay. I mean, I guess you'd say that to any event.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one pitch in baseball that somebody gets. I mean, that happens in every sporting event, or a missed tackle in football that he goes 90 yards away. I mean, every event like that or a car accident is, you know, bad luck. You went through the light the wrong time. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the way life is. So, I mean, yeah, okay. Every event's like that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's forge on here. I'm going to have a wonderful guest here in just a few moments. And I know, Craig, you've got to get moving. You have stayed with us the full hour, even though I know you've got to run and go. You've got much to do. And we're so appreciative that you're here today. Let me get you, Craig, to give us your final word. Now, we're going to do another big wrap up this Saturday morning, folks, on Great American Golf for that radio podcast listening group. We're going to do another big wrap up. It won't be probably the entire show like today, but it certainly will be a good 30 minutes or more. So we're going to do this again. We'll talk about some different things as well as some of the same things this coming Saturday morning on Great American Golf. But Craig, let me let you wrap up your part.
Well, I think even what we were just talking about, I think there is a fine line between winning and coming close. You know, I think that's the nature of this sport. And I think everybody needs to realize how tight and how good these players are. And you have somebody that you probably didn't even see all weekend, and they finished 19th or 20th, and you think, oh, look how far back they finished, or we never even saw. There's a fine line. Xander wasn't shown very much, but Xander was much closer to winning this golf tournament than people think he was.
Right.
And I think people need to realize that there's a really fine line between what Wyndham did and somebody at 18th or 19th, 20th place. I mean, it's a closer event than you think.
But, you know, you look at Xander Schauffele, and he shoots plus two. If you know, and they look at all of them, I mean, everybody is two over par. And then during the round, Xander shoots two over. He was even. Instead of making a move on it, he goes backwards.
Yeah, he had a tough weekend. He shot plus five over the weekend.
Really did.
He had a tough weekend.
Agreed. How about this guy named Sam Stevens? Wow, what an interesting guy. Yep. Been around, but kind of new on the fans' radar. He's a strong Christian man, been around for a number of years playing. He has a quote here that I found. I pray I can glorify him with my actions and my play. Here's yet another strong person of faith. There are numerous ones. We know Scottie Scheffler, so prominent in his faith, and others, but more to talk about with him. Just such a good player, and I was interested to see, you know, Sam Stevens be there on and off. Ends up T7. He didn't have a great, you know, a great fourth round, but hey, finishes one over. All right, Craig, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful, 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 wonderful week. And we will be back with you this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. And Dr. Bob, we're going to keep going right now. I have a wonderful guest that I want to admit, but I want to get your bit of a final word as well on the event and on the week, the history of it, the positioning of it. You know, what's your final comment today about it as we go out? And I'm going to be inviting a wonderful new sponsor and a wonderful guest on with me in just one moment. But Bob, take off, and then we'll continue all of this on Saturday morning's Great American Golf coming up.
Okay. Well, Ray, we can catch up on all the other events that took place while the Open was going in place. And I just wanted to say that the U.S. Open, to me, was turned into a drama. When I didn't think it was going to be drama towards the end. Yeah. I have a feeling, especially when the wind was down. But when a player is that far ahead, there's always going to be difficult on a golf course like that to try to hold your position. And I had respect for Wyndham Clark for what he accomplished. He slashed his way out of 16 and get that birdie, an unbelievable birdie in that par five, which really showed me something.
Yeah.
And he had a tremendous rapport with his caddy. Yeah. I thought he did a wonderful job with it. So that leaves me in the feeling that I have a lot more respect for him coming out of that U.S. Open.
Well, my understanding is Wyndham Clark lives here in the Phoenix Scottsdale area, and I'm going to do my very level best to get to him and invite him on my show. As a two-time U.S. Open winner, he will be joining the likes of Jack Nicklaus. He'll be joining Gary Player. He'll be joining Hale Irwin, Lee Jansen. I can't remember others that did Billy Casper win the U.S. Open twice? I don't
Billy
remember.
Won, I think he won it once.
Okay, I don't remember, but there have been multiple U.S. Open winners that have been on my television show over the years. And Bob, as far as upcoming schedules go, we have a lot going on this week with golf post U.S. Open, and everybody can check out their schedules and their TV times and watch a lot of golf. But what about the LPGA? I just want to make one comment about the LPGA this weekend.
Okay. B back to Billy Casper. He did have two U.S. Opens,
That's what I
59
thought.
and 66. Yeah.
That's
It
what
wasn't just
I
the one he
thought.
beat Palmer.
Right. That's what I
And
thought. And he was on my show as well. Go ahead.
right. The LPGA Meyer Classic finished up in I believe it was Lottie Woed missing a 18-inch par putt on the last hole, which forced the playoff, and she lost to Japan's Mayu Yamashita.
How
So
sick
that
is
was
she? How sick to her stomach is she?
she's not feeling very good right now. And
Oh,
next
no.
week is the women's are playing in the KPMG Women's PGA in
Yes.
Hazeltine.
Yes. That's going to be a fun tournament. We've got a big week coming up of golf. We'll continue to be basking and talking and filtering through all of this U.S. Open. But we're going to be focusing a lot on the ladies with their big event coming up too. And we've got the Champions Tour. So many things going on. Bob, thanks for joining today. And I want to
You're
introduce
welcome.
right now one of my favorite people. You know, he and his wife took a risk. They went out into a new world for them. They went into a franchise opportunity. I used to be the head of a big franchise company, so I know about that. They put their money, they put their work, they put their lives on the line to open up a back nine indoor golf location. Now, the back nine golf has done so well around the country. I've bragged about them. Really love what they're doing from on a number of levels. But here in Anthem, as part of my Anthem only segment, as part of what's happening up in the North Phoenix area, the Anthem area up here, the back nine has opened. I was at their grand opening a week or so ago, and they really, really did it up big and did it up right. It is a 72 degrees temperature around the clock. No one can forget that when it's going to be 110 degrees today here in the Phoenix market. And when it's ice cold outside, it's going to be a beautiful 72 or 74 degrees. 24 hours a day, personal, private entrance as a member. And I'm welcoming now the owner, Mark Podell. Mark, welcome.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it.
Well, you worked your guts out and you dropped a few pennies here and there, and you have some great people that have been with you and sponsoring and supportive, and you've got your back nine corporate franchise company supporting and helping. And you really went all the way. You did it right, Mark. And I'm not bragging on you because you're here on the show. I've already bragged on you behind your back to a bunch of people because when I like something, whether you become a sponsor or not, I'm going to talk about it. But you are part of the sponsors of this show. I'm grateful for that. Anthem only segment is grateful. We look about our economy, about our businesses, dollars for charities, the tax base. That's all part of what Anthem only is. And people know over the years, I take it from Anthem to, hey, it could be Schaumburg, Illinois, it could be Miami, Florida, it could be up in Seattle, small town in Nebraska. It doesn't matter. Keep your dollars local within 3 or 4 miles radius of where you are. And that supports all those things and the businesses that are there. And I know people are going to do that, but hey, this is a golf community. We're in one of the largest golf cities on the planet. We are a golf mecca, and you've got an indoor golf facility that is, well, I don't think there's anything that compares to it really.
I'd certainly like to feel the same way. I mean, we really spent the money and the time to build a club, to make it an indoor club, right? Not just, hey, come hit some balls and it's got private lockers and we've got clubs if you don't have them, and we've got two fully private bays 30 foot long with couches and chairs and
Yeah.
refrigerator, TVs and pocket doors so you can close it off and have privacy. And it's a place to obviously one just have fun, but I really believe it's a place to work on your game and get better. We like to say you practice in here so you get better out there. You come in here, you get the data, you get the feedback, you get to dial in your clubs, dial in your distances, get, you know, a video replay of every swing, see your distances. So when you're out on the fairway, because look, indoor golf's never going to replace outdoor golf. It's a place to come when it is 105, 10, 15 degrees. It also, when it's 75 degrees out and you don't have 5 hours to play around, you can play 18 here in an hour.
But there's so many golf course designers and architects and golf course owners, managers, directors of golf, professional PGA professionals that say that indoor golf is really a part of the wave of the future because of the minimalist footprint, the water issues, the sustainability issues. No, it's not going to replace us going out, teeing it up. We just came out of a beautiful, wonderful US Open. We love to play the game and we want to go out and tee it up and play our 9 or our 18 holes wherever we love to play out on the real course, the real grass, the real weather, the real open spaces. But hey, indoor golf is here and it isn't going anywhere. I've been following it for years, Mark, at the PGA merchandise shows, as you have. So I think you are right in time for the wave, and it's of all ages and genders, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's for everybody, right? Look, you want to go have some fun. Like, you go to Topgolf. It's not great clubs. It's not great balls. You're not really getting better. You're having fun. This is a place to come and get better. It's golf replacement for the days you don't have, you know, 7 hours to drive, warm
Yeah,
up, play, have a
yeah,
beer, drive home. You
yeah.
can play around in an hour. And it is just like the course. It's social. You know, my members are meeting each other. They're becoming friends.
Yeah.
People already got a text thread going on with a couple guys that we, you know, chat about different things. Like yesterday when the US Open was going on, you know, I had every bay was packed all day yesterday for Father's Day. We had
Wow.
24 bookings. All bays had the US Open on. I think one had soccer on for a little bit. But you know, it's, and everyone who's come in, even low handicap guys that are like, I don't know about this indoor thing. They're so impressed with the technology, the full swing technology, even the putting, which I know I've heard from several people, just kind of across the board and indoor is not that realistic. We're super impressed with the putting, on the full swing.
All right, let's go through a little lightning round of questions. Can somebody walk in and go in, pay some amount of money, and go in and hit balls, play Pebble Beach, play St. Andrews, bring a friend, do it alone? Can somebody just come in and on a one-time basis or every so often do
Yeah,
that?
absolutely. So we have public tee times.
Okay.
Those are available every day from 9 to 6. You can just get on the website, book a tee time, at $60 an hour. And like I said, it's about an hour per round. So two guys, you probably want to book 2 hours to get a full 18 in. And we've got, I think, 70 courses. It's all the ones you want to play, right? It's your point, TPC
Okay.
Scottsdale, Sawgrass, St. Andrews.
Shinnecock. No,
No,
dude,
no, Shinnecock,
I'm teasing.
Spyglass.
I'm teasing. Wait, I didn't think so.
Yeah,
All right,
Spyglass,
let's
Spanish
go to
Bay.
let, let's go to the you've got everything. I mean, you've got there's so
Yeah, the
many
good
of
ones, the ones you
you've got
want.
you want the you're right. Now, what about you say improving your game, getting better? Can you go there and get into the simulators? The technology you have, the launch monitors, the other ways of measuring the swings and all that. Can you go in and get a lesson from somebody to learn more about your swing, to get a picture of it and to see how you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So finalizing details with a coach at the moment. So I don't want to say we have a coach, but we're close. But even without one, the data and the feedback you get from the sims, can change your game, right? After every swing, you get a video replay of your club hitting the ball, so you can see if you're hitting it inside out, outside in, off the toe, off the hosel, and you're getting your launch angle, your smash factor, your carry, your
Gee,
total. The ball spin, the ball speed, club head speed, it's all
more
there.
than 90% of the amateur players need, but
Well, way more than most people need, yeah.
very cool. All right. Now, if you want to book a party and you want to have like a bachelor party, or if you want to just bring a few of your friends, ladies as well, of course, we don't want to forget that they're 30% of the golfing world. To come down in a very safe, fun, private environment What a wonderful place for the ladies to bring some friends and come and have some fun at golf.
Yeah, I look, that's my wife is just trying to learn golf, right? We've taken her to the driving range a few times over the years, and she always feels like everyone's staring at her and she's embarrassed because she's swinging and missing or swinging and it's going, 90 degrees to the right. And I'm like, babe, no one's watching you. We're all in our own heads trying to figure out how to our swings that we're not worried about you, but she can come here and swing and not worry about feeling like she's being watched. She can feel confident.
Or
Like,
slowing up the group behind.
correct. And as I mentioned, as you referred to parties, we've got the 2 30-foot private bays. They are connected with a roll-up door in the middle. So you can actually take both bays and have a huge 60-foot space, 2 screens, 10, 12 people, bring in your food, bring in your beverages, and have your own party. And you can, of course, rent out the entire space if you want as well.
Okay, very good. Now, another question that comes is, when we say we're open 24/7, do you give somebody like some kind of a Ving card or a code? How do they get in and out?
Sure. So 24/7 is for members only. Again,
So
like
you
we
buy
mentioned.
a membership and there's multiple levels of those.
Correct. Correct. Public tee times 9 to 6 while I'm here. Members are 24/7. They when you become a member, you get the app, and then you can book your tee times right in the app. And then about an hour before your tee time, you get a text message with a link. And that link activates 15 minutes before your tee time. You can come to the door, push that link, it'll open the app, and then there's a button that says open the door. You hit it, it's all magnetized, so the door unlocks, and you can come in, you can go to your bay and enjoy your time here because I've already walked you through, I've already showed you how to use the software, I've already showed you how to turn it on and do all the things you need so that when you come back and I'm not here, you know how to use everything.
Now, as part of the Anthem Only segment, North Phoenix and all of that, you've had some great success with businesses, especially in the Anthem North Phoenix area, supporting you, becoming sponsors, being a part of, assisting you and participating at various levels. I know you're a prominent member of the chamber and all of that was part of your ribbon cutting and everything, but at your grand opening. But how important is it to you that you have located in the Anthem area? Anthem is a community of some 30,000 plus. It's got everything anybody could ever imagine. We affectionately call it the bubble. You really never need to go out for any reason,
Yeah.
unless there's some weird thing. I just introduced earlier in the show one of my Anthem only new sponsors, which is A&G Automotive Repair. They're fabulous, and I'm so glad they're a part. I'm so glad that you're a part, though, because yes, it's golf, but it's also supporting Anthem and providing things for Anthem people and North Phoenix people to do. And even if you're coming and going on the freeway on a trip or anything, you're stopping over maybe and staying with friends, family in the Anthem, North Phoenix area, make sure you get in to the back nine. So talk a little bit about that and the businesses that you have connected with and that you're co-marketing with and things like that.
Well, so as far as the community goes, one of the reasons we picked Anthem of all the territories we had the option to open a franchise location was the community, was kind of that bubble. I liked that it was like this little enclave up here in North Phoenix and super community driven. I love being part of the chamber. I've sponsored already several local events and charities. Because for me personally, that's important. I've done stuff with other charities, with St. Mary's Food Bank and others in the Phoenix area, and just sponsored another golf event that helped support the CCV church up here to help send kids to camp, and looking to continue to do that, but partnering with certain businesses that see the value of my members, right? It's this isn't like not that it's not cheap, it's not that it's outrageously expensive. But we know golf is a commitment. And so, people that are willing to spend the money to be a member, there's value to my partners to say, hey, advertise on my screens because the audience that they're reaching is affluent, educated, golfing community that might be interested in the product or service that they have to offer.
Well, we have some great friends and common businesses that not only are part of the Anthem Only segment, which you are now, that we could talk about, but I know that you are so glad they're a part of what's going on at the back nine. And I saw several of, sponsors in the anthem only segment, like Dave Newhall at North Valley Water Solutions. He's such a great guy. And there's so many like that. And Mark, you've joined with them to be a part of this whole community building and service offering that you've brought to Anthem. And we're so glad that you're here and that you are finally open.
I've heard from a lot of people, there's just, it's being that it's a very residential neighborhood. There's not a lot of commercials. So there's not a lot to do after call it 10 o'clock at night, any night of the week. And one of the comments I hear,
you could go unroll the sidewalks, but go ahead.
But one of the comments I hear a lot from people is like, wow, this is so great. Because, now we can have a date night on Friday night. And I have the last several weeks, every weekend, people are booking the bays from, 8 to 10, 9
wow.
to 11, 10 to 12. I had a guy staying here till 1 in the morning last Friday night golfing.
Okay.
So something fun to do every night of the week.
All right, we're talking about Mark Podell here and his wonderful wife, Peggy. They have opened up the back nine. Golf facility here in the Safeway Shopping Center right on Anthem Way in the North Phoenix area here in Anthem, Arizona, and joined by other great companies that are part of this segment for so many years. Mark, thank you so much for being a part of it, for opening the back nine, and for giving this opportunity and this fun and this learning and, well, everything that goes into being a golfer and going indoors around the year, but especially during the heat of the summer, which, by the way, is 6 months, everybody, if you don't know.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for being a part of it.
One thing, just in case, for all the listeners out there, we offer a free 1 hour demo at zero cost to you. You can just get on our website. There's a button that says book a demo. It's a free 1 hour to come in. I'll help you get onto the driving range and give you some time to warm up. And then I'll put you out on a course for the rest of your free hour to hit and enjoy and just experience, indoor golf at back nine.
Perfect. Now, what's the website? How do they do that?
It's just the back nine. If you search back nine Anthem, you'll find it.
Okay.
It's back9golf.com/anthem.
Right. There we go. The back9golf.com/anthem.
Correct. All spelled out.
And you're there. All right. Mark Podell, thank you so very much for being with us. You are the owner and purveyor and the general manager and the director of golf and the membership director. And you're all
the janitor.
And the janitor. Well, hey, I understand. We were joking about that, you and I, when you were getting ready to open a couple of weeks ago. And I saw you in there with a broom or something. Or I don't remember what. I think you had a broom in your hands. And I said, oh, you must be a small business owner.
Yep, exactly. I'm happy to do it.
Isn't that great? Well, what we're doing is you're supporting the community and giving us something that we do very much enjoy and love, golf. And we're going to support you. Absolutely. 100%. Thanks for being with me today on the show. Mark will be back with us with some other special things. You'll be hearing me talk about some special offers throughout the year. And Mark, I can't wait to get in there and do a little video together, post that up on some social media and continue to talk back nine golf right here.
Thanks, Ray. I appreciate it.
Anthem, Arizona. Thanks, Mark.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining on this very special U.S. Open. What a great show. I'm so grateful to Dr. Bob Denny, to Craig Renshaw, and one of our newest sponsors and opening up the back nine golf, Mark Podell. I also want to thank Ashworth Golf Apparel. And I want to thank Tour Edge Golf at touredge.com. I want to thank Squares. You can still get some great deals going on. A lot of companies have extended their offers or given you some new offers post Father's Day. I've got my big America's 250th birthday golf guide, America's 250th birthday golf guide coming out to my big, big email list, folks. If you would like to be on that email list and get all of my newsletters, all of my gift guides throughout all the holiday seasons, and you want to be getting this big, big, big patriotic America's 250th birthday golf gift guide, you got to write to me, golfadams@msn.com, golfadams@msn.com. I'll get you on the list. I'll get you out there. Make sure you go to thegolfnewsnet.com, thegolfnewsnet.com. That's where these radio podcast shows go on Mondays, on Saturdays. They're there for a day or two. They're sent out to all the big podcast audio platforms, television show as well. New TV shows coming, folks. Can't wait to release those. Get those up on thegolfnewsnet.com as well. They then go over, the TV shows go over to the big video platforms like Roku and Amazon and Apple and the others. So lots more of that to come. We're going to be back with you this coming Saturday morning on Great American Golf. Have a wonderful week. Practice. Have fun. If you can play, do it early if you're in the heat. If not, go enjoy. Play with friends and family. And make sure, folks, that you hydrate. Hydrate, hydrate. And sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen. Cover yourself. I've had an amazing experience with my dermatologist recently. I talked about that on one of my recent shows. I'm not going to go into it now, but I probably will mention it again as they have to go in and do some, well, surgery on me for my skin issues that they have found. So make sure you get into your dermatologist, whether you think you need to or not, get a full body checkup and make sure you use that sunscreen wherever you go. Doesn't matter if it's cloudy, if you're cold, if you're hot, if you're in the sun, if you're at the beach, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, load up with the sunscreen. Don't forget the top of your ears too, because I've got a pre-skin cancer on the top of one of my ears. Can you believe it? It's there. So hydrate, the sunscreen, enjoy your game, and we're going to be back with you with some fabulous golf talk on Great American Golf this coming Saturday.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicholas agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.